Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of HitChat Group Chat. I am one of your co-hosts, Connor Reynolds. Above me, I have JP Fischone. JP, how you doing, sir?
Good. Pleasure to be here, as always. Ready to get into it. We got a lot of things to talk about.
Let's go. And then from the Great White North, we have Mr. Connor Burns. Connor, how you doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Been better, but it's all right.
Wow, what's up, dude? Why have you been better?
Got the screw put up in the old tooth, you know? It doesn't feel very good right now.
We starting the inflammation of putting in a fake guy in there?
Yeah, I think it's my next appointment's like March 13th to make sure it all healed up, and then I get a crown put in. $2,500 out of the bank account today. Whoops.
Aye, aye, baby. Mm-hmm.
Take care of your teeth.
Quit flexing, yeah. Dog. God dang.
No, I'm not out of the bank account. It's all on the credit card.
Hopefully we'll pay it off. I like it, though. I like it. What have you guys been up to the last couple weeks?
Jersey?
Man, you know, just kind of same old, working with the guys.
You got any brags?
Yeah, you know, the guys have been PRing left and right. It's kind of funny. I was going to mention it, but it's like the biggest thing, you know, swings are getting better, obviously, but, I got them all on bat speed programs, some more than others, just depending on, you know, where their baseline was. But, I think that's working, but I think more of the credit is literally coming to, obviously the weight room stuff, but, we're kind of tracking their weights now. And, my brother's been really harping on and kind of segmenting in like different nutritional stuff. And today we did a meeting on like kind of like, hey, what should your fucking dinner plate look like, breakfast look like, and like just little tips and stuff, how to meal plan, all that stuff. Like we gave them a bunch of different recipes that are easy to cook, because you know they're in high school, man. A lot of them don't really know how to cook, but no, guys have been gaining weight and stuff. And I think that honestly, like that's kind of been the biggest factor of everyone starting to go up in velo and bat speed and stuff, is literally them gaining weight, getting stronger, which for most high school athletes, if you can figure that out early on, it's going to give you probably the most dividends than anything.
How many
getting stronger helps baseball? Weird.
Yeah. What? You're telling me that the equation for force is mass times acceleration. And if we just increase the mass, everything gets a little bit better.
Crazy. What? Crazy what they say.
Who would have thought?
Science works or something.
Those physics guys, they know what they were doing.
you have any idea on how many of your guys have PR'd?
Yeah, let me pull it up in my iPad right here.
Hey, yo.
See? Look at this thing. I got a little Apple Pencil. Not bad.
Dude. Now you just need to get the silicone padding of an actual pencil, and then we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Five miles per hour, stagnant, 3 miles per hour, 8 miles per hour, 9 miles per hour, 2 miles per hour, 5 miles per hour, 3 miles per hour, 4 miles per hour, 5, 2, 3. Yeah, so everybody.
Hey, baby.
I did my baseline in like end of October, so that's like what, 2 months, I think, almost. Yeah, end of October. I think, yeah, third week of October, so we're coming up on like 2 months, so
month and a half. Give you a little credit.
That's tight.
Ayo,
yeah, baby. No, it's been good. Yeah, I mean, I think this is what pretty much this portion of the off season is about, is like, okay, let's fucking jack up the bat speed, and then. And then kind of January, February, getting close to more season, start working more approach, swing decisions, shit like that. But, yeah, no, it's been going good. Fun to see the boys PR.
Hey, yo. Let's go, baby. I've got some brags, too. So, so far we have had 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 guys that come in and do just like regular hitting with me. And then we just had a 14U team. And four out of the four guys that were here at the session, a lot of them left for like Christmas break and stuff. All of them PR'd, all but one of them PR'd on both distance and velo. And then the one gentleman just PR'd in exit velo. So 20 plus guys PRing in 12 days. And that was literally just from December.
That's pretty good.
We'll take that, baby. We'll take that all day. Now, I am going to bow down a little bit. I still think JP's brag's a little bit cooler. JP, what you got?
I don't know if this is as much of my brag, but we had a handful of Dodgers players in, Mookie Betts and a couple other guys, and so that was really cool to have. And a lot of their MLB hitting coaches came in, so getting to talk with them and just kind of hang out and like, watch those dudes go to work was a lot of fun. I think it's just like watching them hit was just a reminder of some dudes are just athletes. Some dudes are just freak athletes. So, you know, give them an assessment. We'll get them some reports and some meetings and things like that. But, you know, excited for kind of what they can do with it. And, you know, it's always just good talking to coaches that have been doing it for a long time. And guys that do it at the highest level is always interesting to hear their takes and their opinions.
Hey, yo, baby. Dodgers, they're not slouches, though, either.
They're not, no, and their hitters weren't either. So, you know, there's always stuff to work on, but they're pretty good. I mean, they hit at the MLB level, so they're pretty good.
They're, what some might say, the 1% of the 1%.
Yep, some might. Some would be correct.
Hey, yo, baby. JP, you got a little presentation for us for going down the rabbit hole?
I do. A little bit more put together, and I think we're going to dial into some things that I think we're pretty close to corroborating. I think that's the right word, corroborating with some evidence. So let's
– good vocab. Good for you.
Thank you. All right. Let me share this. Is this going to work?
Yes, sir.
Is it slow as hell now?
No, we are good. We are good to go, baby.
Okay. So today we're just going to talk about ground reaction force before I start. Have we done this one?
We have not.
We did the free movement one.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Today we're going to be talking about ground reaction force, a term you hear a lot, and kind of goes into the things Bernstein's been talking about getting stronger and things like that. So more force is normally better. So what do we know this far and why do we care? So what is ground reaction force to begin with? So one of Newton's laws, force exerted on an object, the object is going to exert the same amount of force in the opposite direction. So when we push into the ground is going to push back on us. We're going to generate some force that way. So that's all great and stuff, but pushing into the ground, it's not like we're high jumpers or long jumpers. We're not just using the ground. So like, why do we care about ground force? Well, when we talk about force production and how energy moves through the body, it gets very complicated to remove variables of energy within the body. The body's a very complicated system. So it's a little bit easier, especially when we're starting to investigate hitting from a more scientific perspective, to start with things that are a little bit easier to measure and define. So the big three forces or force directions that we're going to talk about is medial lateral force. So whether I'm pushing towards the pitcher or towards the catcher, anterior and posterior force, whether I'm pushing towards the plate or pushing away from the plate, and then just pure vertical force. So the lines you see here are going to be the sum total of all of those forces. So we break them apart so we can see the direction a little bit more specifically. So a couple big things that stand out from just looking at a bunch of force plate reports. The first one we'll talk about is rear leg medial lateral force. So think of a athlete that pushes out of their back leg, right? Kind of jumpy towards the pitcher. This is what we're going to see when we look at this yellow line here. You can see how high that yellow line gets compared to our shaded region, which is our high bat speed guys. So this athlete has a significant amount of medial force throughout his stride phase and his load phase. And that is due to his step back during his load. But what we want to see is even with guys that step back, we want to see that medial force stay right around 200 newtons or lower. So this is going to mean that they're able to control that forward move a lot more. They're not kind of jumping out of that back leg. Another big thing we see with the rear leg force is the anterior and posterior direction. So when the athlete starts pushing towards the plate, that would be anterior force. So you'd see this blue line here jump up a little bit higher. So when we look at this skeleton, you can see that blue line start to point towards the plate a little bit sooner than we want. So we want to see those hips start to rotate. The line is going to point towards the plate, but we want it to happen a little bit closer to the time that they get 100% of their body weight on their front leg. So that way they land in kind of that balanced position. We're not kind of pushing out towards the plate. What we like to say is like they're humping the plate. They just kind of push that back hip out, get to early hip extension. So you can see this athlete where his blue line of his anterior posterior graph comes out a little bit earlier than our high bat speed guys. This is going to lead to like a lot of loss of space. They're not able to rotate their hips as efficiently because they just lose a lot of hip flexion. They get out of that hip hinge a little bit early. Typically, they have to kind of pull their hands across or side bend or kind of lean back and push as a result.
So would that make it to where they're going to struggle on inside pitches more than others?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because once that back hip starts pushing out towards the plate, essentially we lose the mobility to in our spine to now side bend. So they typically lose posture coming up and now don't have the space for your hands to work through the ball. So the inside pitch becomes really hard to hit.
And how important is being able to have space to create acceleration?
Very important. Things are gonna accelerate on the same plane. So we're talking about kinetic chain. If two things are rotating on the same plane, they're able to transfer that energy a lot more efficiently. So when you get out of posture, that torso becomes out in a different plane than your hips. Now that energy transfer is a little bit lower. So definitely need to maintain that space. And then the last thing we'll look at in the rear leg is vertical force. So just pure how much force are you pushing straight into the ground? And while we don't see a huge correlation between just peak force, so the idea that like more force in the back leg vertically is going to produce higher bat speeds, we do see that the timing of the vertical force has a little bit more to do with bat speed generation. And a lot of this, I would imagine, or my theory is that it comes from just kind of pushing out of their back leg. So now efficiency, rotational efficiency is down, and we're not transferring energy up the kinetic chain as well as we could. So really important to kind of maintain that back leg pressure and kind of maintain weight on that back leg until, like I said, we get to about 100% of our body weight on our front leg. Lead leg seems to be a little bit more consistent athlete to athlete, even from high-level athletes to low-level athletes. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of ways to put force into the ground when you're trying to hit, but there are a couple big red flags that we tend to look at. Anterior and posterior force on the lead leg is a big one. So when we land, we want to see that posterior force. So the idea that the athlete's pushing their front foot towards the plate. And so now that their force direction is going to be the opposite. So they're going to push their hip, front hip away from the plate. Does that kind of make sense? We want to see that force direction stay posterior until contact. So all the way through the swing phase. So when we see this athlete here, his blue line, or his anterior and posterior force is jumping up really quickly. You can see that force vector, that blue arrow, swing kind of across or in front of his body really quickly. And so this is going to end up pushing him back. Instead of allowing his hips to rotate, his hips are going to get into extension really quickly. He's going to push back. And so the reason we want to see this posterior force is we want to create what's called a force couple. So two forces acting upon an object, there's going to want it to rotate. So when we have the lead leg force in this guy on the right pointing in the posterior direction and the back leg force pointing in the opposite direction, that's going to force his hips to now rotate. So we're helping those hips rotate a little bit faster versus in the left, we can see those force vectors quickly uncouple, or they're not going in the opposite direction as much. And so now instead of creating rotation, we're creating a linear shift. So we're pushing forward or pushing backwards. We're not staying in the same spot. So the idea of like rotating through the middle becomes very difficult when those force vectors start going in different directions. So where do we go from here? Well, a lot of this comes from just me staring at a million different PDFs and kind of going, that's interesting. So the kind of next challenge for our sports scientists is to put all of this anecdotal insight together and see if we can come up with some statistical models to kind of map this and then flag athletes when they do come in gym, measure them and say, hey, this guy's posterior force is kind of low. It might be something to look at. So we got to do a little bit more science. Next kind of research topics for us outside of just like pure ground force is kind of the free moment, which we talked about in one of our previous podcasts, and center of pressure, which is also something we've talked about in previous podcasts. So looking kind of into a little bit more specifics that we can get with our force plates and not just total force. So questions from you guys.
The photo that you have currently right now for that free movement, is that the ideal position for to get that free movement, or are we looking more to have that heel connected in the ground to get that in a swing style?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely probably not this, because this is just an image I pulled that I thought was a good demonstration of kind of what free moment is of that twisting. I would imagine we probably want a little bit more heel contact.
Okay.
Because like when we see the force plates, if we get a little too much anterior force on that rear leg, it causes problems. So having the heel on the ground is going to keep that force a little bit more posterior, a little bit longer.
And then have you noticed a trend with athletes that – I know that we had that previous slide up where it had the graph and it showed where you're a high bat speed athlete, where they range, and then where this current player ranged. Do you notice that when we do have where the rear leg gets, and I apologize, is anterior towards the plate for the rear leg? So when that rear leg goes more into that anterior position, with us losing space, is that what you could feel maybe or maybe not be a direct correlation into why we lose that bat speed capability?
I think so. Totally, this has kind of been the easiest predictor for me for guys that struggle to generate good bat speed, or at the very least struggle to make consistent contact, because now they're having to compensate their upper half to kind of adjust to the position that puts the pelvis in.
And then my final question, sorry, Bernsey, is going to be, so you mentioned that the yellow line is going to be a little bit higher for guys that have that step back in their swing. So do you have, because I know that there was a guy in your guys' facility last off season that does something very similar. Is that something where if you do have an athlete that does something like that, is that something where you might want to steer them away from that if they're early enough in their like development? Or is that something where we can manage to where we can find a more consistent metric or numbers that look like an athlete that doesn't have that step back? Is it possible to mirror that? Or is it strictly like, hey, they do the step back, no matter what, they're always going to be higher?
Yeah, I don't think that the step back is an issue. I think where you see that medial force get really high is when after they've stepped back, are they using that step back to then push them forward? Or are they using that step back to actually get coiled in their rear hip? So, and that's kind of the big difference between the two.
So more of a find out why versus just allow?
Yeah. Yep. Figure out why. And like you said, the athlete, Arenado, who kind of does the step back, he in his data, it's a lot lower. So okay. He'll have a little bit of a spike early, but it flattens out very quickly because he's actually stepping back and then loading into that hip instead of stepping back and pushing directly forward.
Hell yeah. Bernsey, you got anything?
No, for me, I suck because I am not an auditory or visual learner. So like I took notes on all this shit because I'm just better at writing shit down and then rereading it and then contemplating it. But I think it's just interesting from coming from a perspective where in terms of learning how to be a hitting coach and kind of learning those different aspects and not necessarily having the tech to really kind of back it up like you have, where you have this kind of science lab and these guys being able to test it, which is awesome. But it's like kind of looking at this stuff and like having these thoughts in my head and like seeing that and like, okay, I've definitely like thought that before, but like I didn't have anywhere to like test that or put that space out. So
yeah, definitely. And that's been kind of the big thing for the hitting side specifically is I don't know if the insights that we found are like groundbreaking. I think there's a lot of dudes that know a lot about hitting, but like you said, may not have, you know, definitely don't have a motion capture lab just hanging out in the facility, and don't have the resources to just be able to like prove it or study it a little bit more. So like the things like the force plate data, I don't think there's a hitting coach out there that's like, oh, I don't know what it's like for a guy to push out of their back leg. Early. Like everybody's seen that. I don't think there's a hitting coach out there that doesn't know what like too much anterior force on the rear leg where their hip just like jumps out towards the plate. So it's like it's not necessarily something that's brand new, but I think the being able to measure it and define it a little bit more specifically just allows us to do some research and kind of communicate coach to coach a little bit better.
Yeah, well, and even just looking at kind of this slide right here, like one of my guys just came back from college, and that's the like one of the biggest things he's working on right now is like that rear leg tends to go a little bit too early, and then he loses space, and he really has to compensate for with his upper body. His hands tend to cast out, and it's kind of just a mess right now. But no, it's more of the fact of it's like, I guess for the last like many years, hitting coaches like we've seen it, but now it's just more of the ability like, okay, we can categorize it now. And it's also like, okay, I have the data. Okay, yes, that is actually a thing. Or it's like, oh, wait, that's not actually happening. Yep. That kind of thing, which is good. So that's not really a question, but just
it's no, yeah.
I do have one more question, actually. When you guys have the skeletons, are those like actually proportionate to the athlete, or do you guys have just a generic skeleton that you put in that overlays on top of everything?
Great question. So for the most part, it's proportional to the athlete's body. But there's always some fun cleaning errors where the, not necessarily the data gets messed up, but the processing from taking like raw data to making a model, it's messed up. So some dudes will just have like massive skulls, but like the pelvis will just be like way big, which is always kind of funny. But for the most part, it's pretty proportional.
Hey, yo. Well, hell yeah. Appreciate you taking us down the rabbit hole there, JP. And then we have had 2 weeks of beef that we need to digest. So let's go through. Beef. Let me pull this up. Boif. So what's for dinner? We have, I need to go boom, digest the beef. Alrighty. So for my segment, I've been kind of active on Twitter, picking my fights as usual. Burns, you will be proud of me. Or maybe not.
I mean, I can see it all the time. So
I don't think was I more toxic or less toxic this time?
way less toxic.
Hey, let's go, baby. So first thing that we're going to look to pull up is going to be, let me see if I can find it, had a run-in with somebody known as Teacher Man in the space. Others call him Dick Shank. So a couple different ways that you can know who he is. But went through and we had an athlete that we're going through a swing change. So this athlete came to me, I would say, I think beginning of November, was very much almost ideal of what we just talked about, like big leg kick, high effort, high energy. He would get his leg kick, but as we found today in doing one of our drills, and I think, Bernsey, it could be a drill that could help out your player as well, is I do a thing called ski slide. So if you've ever seen the little things where it's like a whiteboard and you put on like little shoeies, you'll slide to one side, slide to the other. Very similar, but we'd look to do it in the box. And so through having him try and do this drill, I found like, holy cow, you have the worst balance I've ever seen of anyone in my life. And so when he would jump back to his foot, he would like fall over. And so essentially going through, and in one of our last rounds, I was like, hey, do me a favor. I want you to try and mimic, you know, the machine, good old Albert Pujols. And so we went to more instead of a high leg kick where he's, if I have an athlete that struggles with balance and being on that rear leg, it's one of those where it's like, all right, do we look to try and make it to where you can balance? Obviously, we want to do that. Or do we eliminate the need to balance and just essentially go to a like a small leg kick or like a heel up, heel down, and have that heel down be the activation of the swing? We go to that, PR, PR, PR. Like, dude just starts barreling baseballs and barreling them consistently. Because the thing is, he could swing it, but it was just so inconsistent. And so this athlete gets super excited, screen records his sessions, puts it on Twitter. First time this dude's put any video of himself hitting on Twitter. And we get Richard Shank in the comments. His comment was, slow developing, no quickness. That was it. That's the entire comment homeboy decides to put out. So I had my initial tweet that I then redacted. I didn't even put it out. I just put in the drafts, let it sit there for a little bit. And the funniest part about it is right then when he commented on this, I was actually showing one of my pro guys video and we were trying to replicate one of his drills to then get a comment from him essentially talking shit about one of my guys. I was like, weird, dude. Like, we're literally doing one of your drills. So I came back with, good thing it's not a final product, but massive improvements from where we started a month ago. What I'm not a fan of is making a walking by comment without offering any insight on how or what to change. I'm also just curious of how you even found this video. And then I also sent a DM that we'll keep in the DMs. But I found out he actually follows Fast and Fast retweeted it, so thus putting it on his timeline. So it wasn't really that much of a beef, was just more so one of the things that just pisses me off is when guys feel like they have the ability to just walk by, say a little snide comment, and then keep walking without offering any insight on how to fix it. That generally just pisses me off. But then our next one, so we went from getting into a little scuffle bug with Mr. Richard Shank. Also had a little scuffle bug with the nine zone, the UT guy. Ran into something with him just simply because he doesn't know how to fucking read. So it was more so on his part than anything else. So I'm not even going to dive into that. We don't even need to digest that beef.
Is the Nine Zone dude's like a Teacher Man guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like what? It's like that fucking white and yellow profile pic. Yeah, okay.
Yep. So then a gentleman by the name of Mookie Betts put out a couple photos of him at a place called Driveline. That was then quote tweeted by Chad Longworth. Chad Longworth said, if Mookie adds bat speed, look out. A gentleman by the name of Nick Osborne, who is a 108 trainer, put down, what if his bat speed goes up and his barrel accuracy goes down? I then decided to reply to that, said, what if it doesn't because he's an elite hitter? Ask Nolan how his season went after adding 2 miles an hour bat speed, which we all know. Nolan Arenado went from having his best offensive career, I think, of all time in age, what, 32? Like low 30s? Like, it's kind of weird, And then in response to that, Nick Osborne said, what if it makes him elite in his ability to hit the ball really hard when he's not trying? Making it look effortless. I mean, that's literally the definition of efficiency, getting the most out of something without having to try as hard. I said, what if he could do it even better, though? Can't get the biscuit if you don't risk it. Complacency is the death of all careers. You never know till you know. His response is, if you were making millions, would you be willing to change and risk it for the biscuit? Hell, I hope he does swing harder, and then when he can't figure out why he can't get barrels anymore, he'll come hit at 108. I responded with, imagine wishing a player does bad for your own personal gain, with a little eyes. I said, ask Chris Davis, Orioles Chris Davis, for those who can't see my type in, Orioles Chris Davis with a C. Ask how Chris Davis did after not making any adjustments but getting paid millions. He responds, you don't think Chris Davis tried making adjustments? How do you know Chris Davis didn't try and make adjustments and they were just the wrong ones, too many variables? I responded, how do you even know he made any? His response was, fair enough, I don't. And that kind of was like where it got left off. And then the next morning I wake up to 108's account jumping in the mix and saying it's all about context and how it's created. They don't publish the horror stories of all the people who chased it and had the worst seasons of their career, and there are many. Most of the time when players go after it, the speed gets higher because the barrel travels in a longer arc. Then the time to contact suffers and timing becomes an issue. Where is the increased bat speed happening? How is it being created? Which direction is the bat speed traveling? No one pays attention to the how, and often it's just chasing to make things worse. Chase efficiency of movement, chases decel patterns, kills rotation, and fast. You will hit the ball harder more often. Cinematics often get in the way, and far too many, the idea of more is better than worse. So that was a lot. I essentially, where is it at? Let's see here. So someone else put out a tweet saying Mookie's barrel accuracy is already in the elite territory. Him sacrificing some accuracy for 1 to 2 miles an hour bat speed would be great. 108 responded with, and this is, I know sometimes I struggle reading these tweets, but I'm going to read this one as accurately as possible. And you guys let me know if this makes any fucking sense. You're saying that as if it is a fact, which it is not very bright. Would you have considered Joey Votto's burial accuracy was already elite territory? That doesn't even make sense to me. So for you to be saying you're not very bright in one sentence and then not making any sense in just a pure grammar sense in the next one, I feel like Grammarly should be your next investment. I put out a GIF saying, I am sorry, what? Because I had no idea what this guy was even trying to say. This dude goes on a very long thing just talking about bullshit, but essentially it wasn't that bad. Essentially what I'm seeing is that you have two guys going through and just having, and I'm in the DMs with the Nick, and we've chatted about it. Like, he's going to be probably coming on the podcast here in the next couple weeks. So, like, I don't know. But then out of nowhere, just 108, just jump into it. I don't know, man. I don't know how you guys think or feel about essentially coaches. And I know he wasn't actually saying, like, I want him to suck so that way, you know, I can personally gain from it. I don't think that's what he was, like, saying, but it kind of came across. But, like, have you guys ever run into instructors or anything like that that, like, hope or wish that somebody does poor just so that way they can work with them? Like, have you guys ever run across that?
I wouldn't say they're like openly. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know, that was just a weird That was a weird threat.
I feel like the sentiment is always kind of there. Like when you start talking about Twitter beef, the sentiment that if you go work with this coach or this company or this facility, you're going to get worse. And so the hope with that statement is that if they do go to that facility, they do get worse, because then that emphasizes the truth of that statement. So I think the underlying tone when I see coaches talk about like, oh man, this guy's gonna go here and he's gonna get so much worse, is like they kind of hope that they do get worse.
It's like, want, like you're not good enough to be with a really hot girl, and so you hope that the guy that she's with like cheats on him, just cheats him, treats her like shit. So then you can like sneak in and be like, oh, look how bad that guy was. I'm not even close to being that bad. Like, you should be with me instead. Like, that's how I, like, when I hear and like see things of that nature, that's how I kind of jump to it. And like, I don't know, like on the, on another podcast I'm with that we do here at Fast with Cole Thomas, we literally talked about how like, if you have to essentially talk shit about somebody else to make you seem better, are you really better, or have you just not like disclosed your shit? Like if we're trying to measure and see who's the tallest, and you got two people that are like right there, and before the person's able to bring over the measuring tape, you just walk over and you kick that dude in the shin, and that dude like falls over and is holding the shin. Well, yeah, now you're taller, but are you taller because you're actually taller, or are you taller because you made the other dude not as tall? Like, in my opinion, I feel like you should be, like, taller because you're taller, not because everyone else is shorter. And that's how I, like, I kind of see that as, like, rather than saying why we're so good, you're hoping that someone else is so bad. And, like, does that really make you that good, or does that just make you good in comparison?
You know what I'm saying? Man, I think it's a problem that's not even like a problem in just like the, I guess, baseball world. It's like a general problem inside of like of kind of just taking people down and being like, that's bad, you shouldn't do that, I'm better kind of thing, where it's like, or just not letting, I don't know, just trying to tear people down for the most part because they're not with you. It's more of like, why not just be like, okay, I believe myself as a hitting coach. I believe what I'm doing. You know, that doesn't mean what Driveline does or what Fast does or whatever does is bad. And understanding like, you know, hey, whatever they do, like maybe it will help them, maybe it won't help them. And that's okay. But like the whole mindset of like, oh, what the fuck? This place is super bad. They ruin swings and stuff. Like, and also of course, no shit. I'm sure a bunch of guys have gone to Driveline and maybe not gotten better. And, you know, again, you know what I mean? It's not, I'm sure Driveline's rate of success isn't 100%. That'd be fucking insane. There wouldn't be any other rival places. Everyone would be doing Driveline and there would be just a bunch of Drivelines all over the world and we'd all be doing the same shit, right? You know, it's and again, it's all proper context too. It's like, you know, oh, this guy had a shitty season, and then it's like, well, I worked with him. He didn't actually really listen. He didn't work that hard, blah, blah, blah. It's all in context, right? But it's more the fact of like, just fucking worry about yourself. Do what you like, do what you believe in, focus on it. Work with your guys, make sure they get better, and don't fucking worry about anybody else. Like, who gives a shit? Who gives a flying fuck on what the hell anybody else is doing? If you're doing a good job and you're getting players better, that's all that fucking matters. Like, who gives a fuck? Seriously. It's such a tired bullshit thing. Like, and the teacher man thing, so that wasn't that big, but that's so fucking annoying, such an annoying thing. Like, oh, this guy sucks. It's like, sick, man. Awesome. I'm so happy that you commented on my video of this guy who's getting better. That is just the best. Like, just, yeah, I don't know, fucking stupid. Like, what? Yeah, just pisses me off. Good rant, guys. Woo.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the screw in your jaw or what, but that was something. That fucking was nice.
Fire me like up that. There, Bernsey.
I totally agree. I mean, yeah, it's just like, it's just Cain and Abel stuff. It's just like, if you don't like it, like, it's somebody else's fault. But I don't know. I mean, like, I have nothing against 108. I like some of the stuff they say. Like, I like some of the stuff Teacherman says. I think they
whoa,
they
clip all, it. Clip it. Some merit.
Like, yeah, I'm with it. Like, there's definitely things where I'll be like, hey, dude, like, you know, we want to get back here. I want you to just, like, essentially I'm telling them to kind of snap it. And there's times where, like, I'm like, hey, dude, like, I need you to get up front, and, like, we need to, like, work reciprocally. Like, we need to work reciprocally. Oh, like, don't do that.
So you're telling me that you don't have just a cookie cutter way of working with athletes, that you, like, view what they're struggling with and then apply whatever thought process works best for them? What?
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to do that? How I essentially ended it was I responded to 108 and said, hey, the dude's in one of our facilities, and it's not mine and it's not yours, so I guess we'll see how the season goes next year, and we'll actually get an idea if it was a good idea or bad idea. And, you know, Chaz Pruitt, whoever, the owner of Baseball Rebellion, quote tweeted and was like, I've never seen a way to end a conversation faster. And it was like, yeah, like, he's not with me, he's not with you. Let's see how he is how he does with the facility he is with, and we'll see who's right and who's wrong in 1 year. Let's see how it goes.
And I think the funniest part about the fact that we're talking about Mookie Betts is Mookie could do literally anything. He could hit with anyone, and he's still gonna hit. He's still gonna have like a 120 to 150 WRC plus. Like, he's still gonna be 20% better than the league. Like, he's still really good. So it doesn't, like, I don't understand. I mean, but once again, like, it bring up some good points. Like, yeah, there is some risk to, like, trying to increase bat speed that your contact quality goes down. For sure. That's risk that needs to be mitigated. For sure. That's a good point to bring up. I just don't understand why it's gotta come with such hostility.
Well, and, like, the thing that I guess made me more mad than anything was the comment of no one pays attention. Like, what do you, okay, like, and I wanted to ask, but he was already five tweets deep in his thread on it. But I want to add, like, who are you referring to in that situation? Like, are you saying just when guys train? Because, like, here's the thing. If you're just saying, like, generally when people train on the focus of bat speed, that is going to increase, like, you might get out here, might cast, barrel dunk, like, what are the, yeah, like, I've seen guys that have no idea what the fuck they're doing on the training side not see that, like, oh wow, like, yeah, our bat speed got better, but everything else fell. Like, there's a give and take to stuff, like you just mentioned. But, like, to just say that no one pays attention, it's like, if you're referring to driveline, I'll speak here, not speaking for JP, but I'll speak so that way JP doesn't have to make comment. Like, suck a dick, dog. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're telling me that the facility that has more fucking edutronic cameras, more force plates, more trainers that are trained at a higher level don't pay attention? All right, now you're just fucking reaching for shit. Now, if you're not referring to driveline and putting a blanket over people that train bat speed as an anti-bat speed person, I wouldn't say you're wrong in all cases. Like, yeah, like, that does happen. But in context of, like, that, like, I don't know, dude. I, like, that just pissed me off because I was like, all right, bro, like, no, like, no, I don't know how else to respond to that. But and then I thought it was not funny, but how you mentioned earlier, and the one thing that I will mention that me and Nick talked about in the DMs is he was like, hey, man, like, you know, we also have, like, really good stuff on our Instagram where we post a lot on drills and stuff. I was like, I already follow you guys. Like, half of my Aquabag workout is from shit that I've seen you guys do. Like, and that's the thing. It's like how you mentioned earlier, like, how can we take little pieces from a bunch of different places and apply it when needed to the correct athlete? Like, there's going to be times where you have athletes that get stuck on the backside, so we need to get out there. There's going to be times where athletes get out there and need to sit back. Like, there's always a give and take. Not every single person is the exact same. So using the same idea and terminology for every single kid is just not going to work. And you have to be able to, you know, give and take. And I think that gets lost from, and I'll say, like, 108, like the main account, like, I think they lose that. Like, and it's one of those where it's like, if you're trying to make a corner of the market, if you're trying to make a staple for who you are, I mean, let's think about it. King Juco, his big thing is just fucking throw gas, smelling salts, and go for it. Domingo Alla, his big thing is he's, like, very, like, flashy, like, over the top with it. You have guys like, you know, Richard Shank that, you know, has been, like, they all have these staples, like, the stamp of who they are. It's a marketing thing. Like, if you're known for, like, if you see somebody do a scissor kick, boom, like, 108 farm board boys. Like, it's one of those where it's like, you know who they're from. And I think what can happen is when you have those accounts that just go through and just anytime they see anything about bat speed, they shoot their whole, you know, army of nukes of saying, like, no, anti, this is so bad for you. Like, not always, dude. Like, what are you talking about? And so, I don't know, that's the thing that I think frustrates me a good amount too, is just that aspect of it.
I think too, it's like, it's the thing of, like, I don't know, it's same thing as, like, training fucking mound velocity, right? Or you get, it's like, oh, you're only doing that. It's like, yeah, we're also fucking working on pitching too. Like, we're also working on contact quality and all these different things. Like, it's not like we just come in and it's like, swing the bat as fucking fast as possible. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's not like, it's just, I don't know. It's just so fucking, it's such a tired argument. It's just so annoying.
I've never tested bat speed without using a baseball. I've always had a baseball being thrown, and, like, here's the thing. I'm not cool enough to have all of my guys on the pro version of blast motion where there's a thing called air swings. So, like, for blast motion to recognize that a swing has taken place, they have to make contact with the ball.
It's also why I love doing bat speed training with Smash Factor balls. It's just immediate contact quality feedback. Just like, hey, swing the bat as fast as you can, and I want you to hit this little Smash Factor ball as far as you can. To do that, you gotta square that puppy up. Like,
so,
you know, it's once again, it's just like a misunderstanding of the context, and, like, nobody's gonna know the context of what we do every single day. Like, nobody's gonna know the context of, like, how fast does their training or stuff like that. You're just not gonna get a complete picture. And so, like, to just fire off at people, whether it's Rich who just popping off on some random little high school kid, or it's 108 just talking about how we train athletes. Like, I don't think you can comment on that because you just have no idea what the hell actually goes on. So, like, I don't know. That's where it gets weird for me. I'm like, you have no idea. You're just guessing. So, like, that's never going to produce a positive outcome.
Question on the training side that I just caught right there. You guys do bat speed training with all Smash Factors? For certain situations?
Yeah, for sure. I love Smash Factor. Like, before, I loved doing bat speed with plyo balls. And now I love doing high velo smash balls, bat speed. Love it.
So right now my routine of everything is, and I might out myself as an anti-driveline guy of not knowing possibly the correct order. We'll see. We go red, green, blue, long. We call it daddy's bat, the 37-37.
I like that.
That's daddy's bat. I like that. And then I'm not cool enough to have the short axe bat, so I found a broken bat that just had the barrel, and I made that. And then we go back to the blue, the light one. But I go with the red and green, I use regular balls. With the blue, I use Smash Factor because we ain't breaking those. We got to keep those around. And then the daddy's bat and the short bat, we use Plyos. How off am I on that?
I mean, ours is a little different. We normally just use the speed trainers, depending on the situation. Some guys, I mean, I've programmed like short bat, bat speed days, where it's like, I want to see how fast you can swing the short bat because you'd sequence like hell and you can't side bend. So like, here you go. But typically we'd just go like green, red, blue. And the idea is like, you're just moving from like the hardest thing to rotate, barrel load, a little bit easier.
So I did just out myself.
A little bit. But that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If now, it works, then what are we doing?
Here's my thought or theory on it is with the first bat being the first one, I want them to get the feel of what rotation is with the handle load and then to go to the end load so that way they feel the difference rather than going here, here, here. Like I want there. Oh, no, I'm casting. I'm supposed to feel this to almost fight for it. That was my thought process on it. But and I know like you can always mix and match and shit like that. I was just curious of what the gospel says.
The gospel says you should go barrel load to underload because the barrel load MOI makes it harder to turn. They're going to end up – typically guys will swing that slower. But like you said, like if you got a guy that's really has a tendency to cast and you want to start with the red bat because it's easier for him to turn, he can get a good feel for that and then move into something more challenging. And yeah, I can totally see myself programming something like that.
Oh, sick. You
know? Like, yeah, for sure.
Let's go, baby. Burns, you got anything on the dome right now beyond a missing tooth?
No. Well, my gums hurt really bad, but
screw up there or something today?
Yeah, maybe. No, I was just thinking too, just like how, because last year I kind of went off just the general, kind of what you guys are talking about, like overload, handle load, underload, kind of bat speed. But this year, like we did like 2 weeks of testing with kind of each bat tracking their bat speeds and kind of seeing on the spectrum of like absolute strength, absolute speed, kind of what guys fall under. So like there's probably like 5 or 6 guys who, when they do bat speed, they pretty much only go regular bat and underload. And then other guys will only swing the overload bat and the regular bat kind of thing. I think that's been working out pretty well, just because there's some guys where it's like they'll fucking swing the overload bat so well and then the regular bat will be kind of similar and then their underload will be like shit. Or it's like, okay, well, I don't know if swinging an overload bat is really actually like helping you right now because you already move it so well, right? So yeah, that was kind of just a, and that wasn't my idea, that was my brother's idea because he's way smarter than me. So
I kind of, and I've run into that, so I tried making it to where it's like, if you're this age, this is the set you do. If you're this age, this is the set you do. And I have some, like, freshmen that are not strong. And so, like, instead of having them swing daddy's bat, I have a variation that I'll have them swing. Now, is it exactly, you know, 37-37? Is it exactly 34-34? No, but it's similar enough and stuff like that. And so like I've had to make some adjustments because it's like, all right, like do I want you to swing something heavy so that way you can try and increase your bat speed? Yes. Do I want you to swing something that is so heavy to you that you are lacking the acceleration aspect of the swing? No. And so it's like finding that fine tune of like, I want you to be challenged, but I don't want you to not move fast. So like still moving fast, just have. So I've played around with that a little bit. And I actually went through and we have our movement days that we do Sundays. So we're recording this on a Monday. Yesterday was our movement day. And we have these Kaiser machines that are like air pressured. And so they have like the little dowels and stuff like that, and you can increase it super heavy, like super light. And I'm not going to lie, I've always been like scared of them because I don't want to break them. They're like very expensive and, you know, I'm not trained in it at all. So I finally had one of our trainers like walk me through on how to actually use it. And so yesterday I had a day where it was we attached the 3D strap, or it's called a what strap, and went through, and this is essentially, let me see if I can make it to where you guys can see, and then, oh, darn, oh, titties.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. So this was our assisted. So essentially, we just hiked up the we did the first round where it was restricted. And so that's going to be this movement. Now, what I really like about these machines is, one, it will say what our power output is in watts. And so essentially, the guys can be testing against themselves every swing. So we'll get set up, they'll take a swing, and it'll say what their most power output was. Every swing after that, if it's not more like output of power, next to it, it will say a percentage of how close we were to the max power output. So essentially, like, I could go swing, if I get a 200, my next swing, if I only get, you know, 100, it's going to say 50. And so that way I can keep pushing myself. And so the first one we had was restricted. So essentially, they're trying to wrap themselves up in the strap. And then the second set was like an assisted turn. So that way it's actually going to pull them out. And we hiked it up. And pretty much all the guys after were just like, holy cow, that was awesome. And I was sitting off to the side like, holy cow, this is awesome. And it was just really cool for us to like, that was the first time we've tried it. And I've been trying to find a way of, like, how do I put quantified data to what we're doing in our movement day? Because in a normal hitting session, we have blast motion, we have head tracks, we have all these things to quantify what we are doing. But when it comes to movement day, I was kind of sitting around like, I have no idea. Like, yes, I could take a radar gun and, you know, see how fast you can throw a med ball. Okay, but like, I don't know what that does. And if that's the only test that we have, I feel like we're losing a lot of, you know, places where we could be testing. So essentially, having this, I was like, oh snap, like, I could literally stand there with a clipboard and have the guy go through, do 10 swings and see how, see where we're at with it. And I've also seen another gentleman, might get the name wrong, I think it's Ben Miller. I believe he went through and he was doing the med ball like swings where it's just a single med ball, like single hand. And so these med balls are like 2 pound med balls and they only have one handle. So essentially you can go through and just freaking sling this thing. And he had a little radar gun. I was like, okay. So like, I'm starting to find little things that I can bring into it. So, I don't know. I was really excited, and I think January is going to be just a killer, killer start for our movement days here at FAST. I'm really excited.
Let's see. That's really cool. Yeah, really cool idea, honestly. Like, excited to hear how that turns out. Continues to progress.
Hey, yo, baby. Gentlemen, do we have any closing marks so that way Mr. Burnsy can, like, not be dying on camera? Jordan flu game, baby.
I got
appreciate you.
No, I think I'm good.
You're good. Actually, I want to read. There's this little blog. It's only going to take, I think it said like it was an hour long read. So we can just skim through.
Get into it.
Just lightly, you know, just lightly.
Oh, do have one thing. This might. Yeah, it's not going to impact guys like us too much, but We recently, Bodhi announced a sharing option platform for biomechanics data. Right now, it's just on the pitching side, but I think it's something to kind of pay attention to over the next kind of couple of years to kind of see how it progresses. I think it's a really cool idea to get a bunch of dudes, a bunch of more scientists collaborating with a bunch of really good biomechanics data. So hopefully, like, it leads to a lot more insights. And fingers crossed we can get hitting biomech data in there as fast as possible.
So are you just going to have, like, a little Google Doc sheet and just share it?
I mean, it's something a little bit more complicated than that. If there's a lot of law that goes into it, because you got to do, you know, human testing has different rules and data sharing, things like that. But, yeah, essentially.
That's awesome. I'm excited for that. That'd be really cool. Yeah. That'd be really cool. Burnsy, anything?
He's out.
I'm checked out, man. I'm
done.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. Well, thank you everybody that has tuned in. I think this was episode number 42, I believe. I'm gonna have a little New Year's resolution for us already. We ain't missing a week, boys. 2023. We ain't missing a fucking week. All right, so that might mean we might have to double up on some recording nights. We might have to do some stuff, but and listeners, I want you guys to hold us to it, please. We ain't missing a fucking week. Absolutely. I ain't leaving. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate you guys, and until next week, have a good one.